Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Ian Gallagher, minister of their church in Cloverdale, British Columbia, and it is my delight to bring you the message of God's Word again today. We're turning to Romans chapter 6, and it's a passage that really answers an objection where people who were hearing the gospel, Paul understood their inner thinking that they would object that if you preach grace, it will only encourage people to sin more. But it is the opposite. When we preach grace and when people are indwelt by the Spirit and understand the mighty torrents of God's love poured upon them, and they see what sin has done to the Son of God who was sent to the cross, and God poured out his wrath upon his Son. No one can see that and understand that Jesus paid that price for our salvation, that he was the substitutionary lamb taking our punishment in our place, that we would be saved. No one can do that and say, I want to sin more. That would be unthinkable, and it is not the experience of the born-again Christian who understands the gospel. And I trust that today that you will experience this in your heart, the sin-killing power of the gospel in your life. There is no other force or power like it. And so I bid you to stay with us, listen into the message today, and get a grasp of what Christ has done, that you might get the victory over sin. If I have been crucified at the cross, what has the cross done in you? I think you can answer that. It can only do in you what you understand the cross has done for you. It has set you free. I wanted to give you in the introduction the story of a lion cub that was raised in Africa by wardens. And of course there came the day when that little cub had to be set free. And it needed to be nurtured and cared for a time. But its life was not to remain in a cage. Its life was to be in the wild. And you can imagine the joy on the liberty that that animal enjoyed as it was released into the wilderness again. When you become a Christian, God has not put you into a cage. He has given you the freedom to live in the newness of life according to a new nature, according to a new set of desires. And the old nature is gone. And the new nature is granted in great newness and power. And that comes by the mighty victory of the cross at work within your heart. Now the sin tendency is there, but there is a new nature that hates sin. There is this union with Christ by which we grow stronger and stronger and enabled to defeat that power of sin in our lives. And so that we do not ask the question, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Not at all. There's not even the desire to do so. But rather there is a hatred of sin in our lives. Now the cross kills the love of sin. The cross also kills the dominion of sin. That word dominion came up here in verse 14. And you will see that we are no longer under the rule, under the mastery of sin. Now, sin as a master is seen in many places in the Bible. One would be under Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a terrible slave master. And you think of the terrible bondage that the children of Israel were under. And sin will do that. Sin will take you in and make you a slave. It takes you a prisoner. And you can never be free by your own power. But the Lord, of course, is come to set us gloriously free. How then shall we become free? Not just by imitating the Lord Jesus. There is a very famous book by Thomas A Kempis. It is used widely by many Christians of various denominations. And it is a book on the imitation of the life of Christ. Now, I remember hearing that from various quarters, and I decided to read it. And I wanted to get my red pen out, and I said, now, I'm going to be fair, and I'm going to be open, and I'm going to checkmark anywhere where the message of the gospel is clear. Well, I used no red ink on that book. There was no gospel in it. It was all about aping, imitating, discipling, and following the Lord Jesus, transforming ourselves into that life of the Savior. Now, it sounds very pious. It sounds very helpful. If only I could be given a number of steps to follow that I could change my life to be like the Lord Jesus. But it is void of the cross. It is void of this new life of Christ coming into our lives. And it ends up man's best effort to change himself. And it becomes disastrous. Because then those who follow such a route think, well, I'm better. I'm different. But all the while, they are the slaves of sin. Now note the terms, not of imitation, but the terms of participation in both verse 3 and in verse 8 of this chapter. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Now, I know we would immediately think water here, but think of that spiritual infusion. Think of that being grafted into a tree or a vine. Think of being united to the Lord Jesus so that his life flows into your life. That is not imitation, that is participation. And it is by participation with Christ that we get the victory. We are made partakers of the new nature. We are made to be like unto him in our own inner beings. Down again in verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And then back in verse 5, you'll notice that that life is resurrection life. And so just as the Lord Jesus died, was buried, but he rose again in a glorified body and in the power of an endless life, you and I, as Christians who go to the cross and die to sin, we are participants in the new life, the resurrection life that is in the Lord Jesus. And so it is not our strength, it is not our own determination, our willpower, or our set of new resolutions. It is by the grace, the infusion of the life of Jesus flowing into our lives that we get the victory. Do you understand the difference between imitation and participation? Do you see that Paul is not advocating that you begin to walk a new life? No, he's saying, receive the grace and walk a new life in that. That is the marvel and the difference that is made right here. And to enjoy this, we must go to the cross daily. That's what a Christian must do. And if you are experiencing weariness, weakness in your Christian life, it is most likely because you do not go to the cross daily in your devotions. That's what every Christian must do. You must never, ever stray away from the cross. You must get back to Calvary. And you must worship God on the basis of the death of Christ and the blood that he shed for your soul. And as you get your eyes on that blood and on that cross work of Christ, you are a participant. Faith draws out of the person, the life of Christ, strength, nourishment, victory, joy, all the fruit of the Spirit begin now to operate in your soul because you've been to Calvary and you are looking unto Jesus. And it is our union with Christ that is the basis of this new life. And so the basis of our sanctification and living in the newness of life is this union, this baptism, this infusion of the life of the Savior flowing into us. And we must delight in that union with Christ, dwell on it, pray on it, sing about it, and glorify God on the basis that I am now in union with the Lord Jesus. And do you want to be baptized? We'll do it. No problem. This is not a sermon against baptism. Don't get me wrong. If there's someone here today and you have a credible, personal faith in the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you're not baptized, then I would say you should be. You should be publicly baptized. You should have a congregation of godly saints witness your baptism and declare your faith in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. But that water is the outward symbol of an inward grace, the new birth, the born-again nature that is already there. The dying thief on the cross was never baptized, but he was sure of heaven. And you can get to heaven without being baptized. But you cannot live the Christian life without this union with the Lord Jesus, united to him and walking with him. Now, I've got to clarify that statement. You can get to heaven without being baptized, but it's not the will of God that you should go on year after year after year never baptized. You should be. It's the will of God. In fact, I could probably go to parts of the Bible where say it's a command. It is the initiatory rite of fellowship and joining the local church. And you can testify of that inward grace in your life by the outward rite ordinance of baptism by water. And if you want to discuss the mode, if you want to discuss how that is done, do you simply get wet or do you need to go down as into a grave and back up again? We can discuss all those points. But the command to be baptized with water is real. And it's based upon the inner grace, this infusion, this baptism in the sense that it is the life of the Lord flowing into your life because you're united to him as a branch is to a vine. And then sin has no more dominion over you. It's no longer your conqueror, no longer your master. You're not a servant of sin, and you're not even asking the question, may I sin that grace may abound? That's the most carnal, unbiblical, unthoughtful question. Indeed, we would say anyone who's asking that question, well, let's put a question mark. There's something wrong. Now, we move on to one more thought here. We have a few minutes to remain just to look at a few more thoughts. The cross kills the effects of sin. Sin always leaves its carnage, its scars strewn in the lives of sinners. It's a destroyer of lives. Sin is a destroyer of people's testimonies. But the knowledge of the gospel kills the effects of sin. And to erase the memory and the stigma and the defeat of what sin has done, you'll notice that it's based on knowledge. In chapter 6, verse 3, verse 6, verse 9, verse 11, you'll notice the word know. Know ye not that as many of us as are baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. We need to know this. And the more we know it, the better we are familiar with it, the more we ponder it, the victory comes. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Our old identity with Adam, that's gone. I'm no longer united to Adam. You remember my sermon on the two Adams? You remember how we talked about God deals with the human race by two representative people, Adam the first or Adam the second, who is Christ, the last Adam? We've no longer to do with the first Adam anymore. He brought sin into our lives. He was the very father of sin in our lives. But now that we are dead with Christ, we are no longer identified with Adam. We identify with the Lord Jesus. And then verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, now we know that, but studying it, dwelling on it, being raised from dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. And then, because death has no dominion over Christ, sin has no more dominion over us. And so it liberates us from a guilty conscience. It sets us free from all the plague and the memories of sin, all the haunting, dreaded thoughts of past sin. All those things are erased or dealt with, covered. And then, of course, it liberates from the condemnation of sin. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There's the story of a man who went to war, and he was a family man. He had a number of children, and he was called up to go to war. Didn't want to go. Someone stepped in and took his place, signed up in his name, went to war, and was killed in action. And then this man, he was called up again to serve in the war. And he said, "But no, I'm dead. I died in action." And so they looked up the records, and sure enough, a man by the same name had died. And there was no longer any claim on this man to serve in that war. Now, all illustrations have their weaknesses, and that one's a weak one. But it does help us to get something of the picture that if I am identified with Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, who took my place on the cross, and he died for me personally as my substitute, then his death is my death. When Jesus died, I died. I am no longer legally united to Adam. I'm dead. I'm done with him. I now rise in a new life. I am united to Christ, the second Adam. He is my head and my Savior. And I live now in the resurrection power of his life, that life that comes flowing down into me. And did you notice in verse 11 that it says, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God." Alive unto God. That's the new life. That's the gospel life. That's the union life with the Savior. And we need to arm ourselves with this knowledge. We need to let that sink in. We need to feast on this continually. Do not live under the bondage of sin. Do not be led by the nose to be a servant of that which has been settled already at Calvary. Live in the newness of life. And you must apply to your own heart the victory of Calvary and enjoy its sin-killing power of the gospel. Now, doubts, guilt, fear, and a sense of condemnation, they come from wrong thinking to the Christian. That has been settled. Have you been born crucified? Born crucified. Dead to sin. You don't even have an interest in it. And you're not under its slavery anymore. You've been planted in this newness of life. And so we answer the question, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What do you think? Could that be reasonable? Or the next question, are we going to stop preaching grace because of carnal people who think that way? Not at all. Not at all. We're not going to deny all that the Savior has accomplished in our behalf. And the victory that he has purchased for us at the cross, we're going to enjoy that. And we're going to live in the blessedness of this grace that is in the Lord Jesus. To think otherwise is foreign. And we who are Christians today, born crucified at the cross, have new life in Christ. Let's unite in prayer in closing. Father, we thank thee for this time in your word. And, oh Lord, we thank thee for the victory that you accomplished at the cross, that it is complete, that it is done and finished. And now, Lord, I pray that grace, that victory of the Savior will flow into our lives, into our hearts, for we are planted together, united to Thee. Oh Lord, let us live in this joy of fellowship and communion with our Savior. And we pray Your blessing upon every soul here today. Part us with Your fear and blessing. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with Your redeemed, now and evermore. Amen. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.